Mark chapter 14, verse number 3. And Jesus being in Bethany. Now, he hung around quite a bit in Bethany. If you read the scriptures and the gospels in particular, this was a stopping place for Jesus on many of his journeys. And he would stay at the house of Lazarus and the house of his sisters, Mary and Martha. And they would take care of him. They'd feed him, house him. It was like kind of one of those Hampton Inns for him, a place where he could get a good meal, a place where he could rest, and a place where he could also focus ministry. And being in Bethany at the house of, this time, Simon the leper, different house, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly," in other words, you can bank on this, "I'm saying to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And that's true, because we're talking about it again today. Amen? Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This woman left a legacy. Legacy. Will you be remembered? That's the challenge, isn't it? Will you be remembered? Will it matter that you were born 100 years from now? Will anybody remember you or hear about you or talk about you? Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? Some people are in pursuit of all kinds of things in our culture instead of being in pursuit of Jesus and his kingdom. To live a life that is remembered, live your life to impress God. Jesus said, "This woman has a legacy so powerful. What she did was so profound in the evaluation of Jesus." And after all, he judges the living and the dead perfectly, not by secular standards. Jesus said, "What she did will be remembered for all time." I doubt our current biased press would write one positive sentence about this woman. But Jesus said of her, "Wherever the gospel is preached in the world, she will be remembered for what she did in those few moments at that dinner. It will be a memorial for her for all time." And it is. Wherever his message is preached, this story gets told. Now, there are people in the Guinness World Book of Records. Some of you may have looked through that. I remember having several copies over the years of that and just reading it, sometimes for the comedic stuff that's in it. I mean, it's hilarious sometimes. Various reasons. They set records doing all kinds of stuff. Some of it very bizarre, like the person who eats glass or wood or metal. Now, one man ate 10 bicycles, a grocery store shopping cart, and he ate a Cessna single-engine aircraft. And he grinds up all this stuff. He just grinds it, and then he eats it, okay? That's what he's remembered for in the Guinness World Book of Records. Imagine him standing before the judgment seat of God. And God will ask him, "What did you do with your life?" "I ate an airplane." It's good. Yeah. What will you be remembered for by your family, by your friends? What will you be remembered for? Most importantly, how will God remember you? What will be your memorial? In this passage, there was a dinner, and Jesus was present. And the word says Martha was cooking the dinner and preparing it, and the disciples were present, and they were sitting down to eat together. How amazing to have a meal with Jesus present. Jesus is at the table. What a phenomenal privilege. The Son of God, Messiah, is seated with you at dinner. And the woman, Mary, was present also. And John, in his gospel, he writes this about her. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. The most sacred place to be is at the feet of Jesus. Not in the great and costly cathedrals of our world and in our day. No. Seek to find yourself at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't standing there saying to him, I need this, give me this. But she was at his feet saying, forgive me, and I worship you, and I love you. She broke the alabaster box, and she said, I cannot go fix the meal right now. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be helping in the kitchen right now. She left the kitchen. She takes this expensive alabaster box of perfume. She breaks it open, and while weeping, she anoints Jesus with it and worshiped him. She poured out her praise on Jesus. And Jesus is so moved by this, so impressed, that he gives us insight in how to live a life of legacy, how to live life and to be remembered, having made an impression on the God who made you. In the story, he gives us at least four secrets of living a life of legacy. How to be remembered. I was thinking about your mom who went to be with the Lord. Legacy. You're a living legacy of her commitment to Christ and her faithfulness to the Lord and a pastor's wife most of her adult life. Christian since she was a young lady, and then later in life a missionary in our Assemblies of God to Brussels and also to the Muslim population in Indonesia. And the legacy at 92 years of age, remembered because of her faithful stewardship to the Lord. How to live a life of legacy. And the gospel is important because it's life or death. It's heaven or hell. Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, I want what Mary has done to be remembered as a memorial. Well, what did she do? Mary was the sister of Martha. She was known as the sister of Martha and called by that nomenclature more than once in Scripture. Martha was the predominant sister. Mary was seemingly in the background. Mary was known as, that is Martha's sister. Nothing seemed to stand out concerning Mary. No specific talent is indicated. No dominant personality trait. She was not that in any room where she gifted them with her presence. She was the person in the background. But that brings a story of hope for everybody in this room today. All of us can live a life of legacy. Every one of us. We don't have to be super gifted, greatly talented, overachievers. We don't need any of that to get the attention of God and leave a life of legacy for our families. Just doing the same things that Mary did, and if we do, God promises that we get to leave a legacy that he remembers. What did she do that impressed Jesus that much? Notice what Jesus said concerning Mary. She has done what she could. God doesn't require any of us to do what we cannot do. First, Jesus expects you to do what you can do. That's all Jesus said that Mary did. Now, the danger is not that you won't do what I can do. The danger is that you won't do what you're capable of doing. A minister needing an illustration and a message contacted a couple in his church. So at a specific point in the message, I'm going to ask you to come to the platform and I want to illustrate a point I'm making. But he took the husband secretly aside and told him, take this $20 bill and hide it in the front of your wife's Bible and have her bring it to the platform during the point where I ask you up here. And he did that. So the minister calls the couple to the platform And then in the illustration, he looks at the wife and he says to her, open your Bible and give me the $20 bill you find in the front. And she said, Pastor, I don't have any money in my Bible. I don't keep any money in my Bible. And he said, please just do what I'm asking you to do. And she did, and she opened her Bible, and for sure, right there, after the cover, is a $20 bill. And she's stunned. She had no idea where that came from. She said, well, I don't know where that came from. And the minister replied, I had it put in there. I made sure before I asked you for it that you had it to give it to me at this point. God will never ask you for anything that he's not already given you. If he's asking you for it, it's because he's already given it to you. And when God called me to preach as a young teen, I remember saying to him, I don't get up and speak in front of people. That's kind of not what I do. It's, you know, I'm not like pushing myself to get attention on the platform. That's not me. And here's the lesson I learned. Don't insult God by arguing with him. Don't go there. No. When he asks you to give him something, he's already put it in you. There are so many people here at Calvary Christian Center. You don't know what God has put in you. And you will never know what he's placed in you until you give yourself completely to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are abilities God placed in you. You're not aware of what you're capable of doing. And Jesus said of Mary, she has done what she could. And people go, well, I can't do that. Or, I don't know how to do that. That's not the point. God put it in you. He's asking you to do it. And he'll enable you to do what he's placed in you. God's asking you to do what he's already put inside of you. Well, I can't do everything, but I can do what I can do. And Jesus said, that's how you live a life of legacy. Second, in addition to what Mary doing what she could do, she did what she could in the face of criticism. And the word says, and they criticized her sharply. Mary did what she could. She did it in the face of sharp criticism. If you want to live a life of legacy, you have to learn to deal with criticism. Because when God tells you to do something, you're going to have critics. Not everybody's going to go, yay, we're glad for that. There will be people who will cheap shot you. There will be people who are haters. There are those who will not appreciate the change that Jesus has made in your life. They will not believe in the dream God placed in your heart. Just ask Joseph how that looked when he was sharing his dream with others. To live a life of legacy, do not allow the voices of critics to stop you. And you'll have to pass two tests. The praise test and the criticism test. And you have to give both of those to God. Praise and criticism. You cannot just accept the praise or get bitter over the criticism. You have to give both to the Lord. Then go do what God's called you to do, right? Even in the face of criticism. And some here today are dealing with criticism. Some started serving the Lord, and then here comes the criticism. See, once you stepped out to do what God called you to do, the enemy will start festering in others a critical attitude toward what God's placed in your heart. Expect it. Because principalities sometimes use personalities. And when you do what you can do, there were going to be people who will criticize you, criticize what you're doing. And if we listen to our critics, listen, we wouldn't be seated here today. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing here at Calvary Christian Center. Listen to the Holy Spirit and allow him to speak to you the dream he's giving to you. And I'm thankful not only do I have a dream, I'm still having dreams, amen? Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, then give them something to talk about. Yeah. Don't allow your dream to die because of critics. There will always be those who sit on the sideline and say, you're wasting assets, you're wasting time, you're wasting your ability. That's a waste. And notice, most of the time that comes from those who sit on the sideline. Very rarely does it come from the players who are in the middle of the field playing out the game. They criticized Mary sharply. Someone listening has walked up to the quit line because criticism and negativism and what we're going to cover next Saturday morning, you've received criticism and flack, and you're discouraged, and you think, I'm just gonna walk away. Let me encourage you. There is still no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Watch what God puts in the category of weapons. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every what? Tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. We think of weapons sometimes as guns and knives, and a weapon of financial setback or a health challenge. Notice God says, every tongue that rises up, I will condemn. You hold your peace. You allow me to fight your battle. I know how to win. I know how to defeat criticism coming against you. She did what she could. She did it in the face of sharp criticism. And you're going to have to learn to do that, because this is a war. This is not for people who want to be out on a cruise ship. This is a battleship, and we are at war, and this is what you're going to have to do. There will always be people who criticize. There will always be those who make light of your commitment to Jesus. As long as you were living sinfully, as long as you were getting up after a Friday night party and throwing up your alcohol, as long as you didn't come to church, as long as you acted crazy at the party, they didn't say anything critical about you. But now that you get up on Sunday morning and you come to church, they can't deal with you. Who are you? They don't understand. They say, well, maybe you've joined a cult. You're not in a cult. You've been born again. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. Don't quit because of criticism if you desire to live a life worth remembering. Jesus said, she did what she could. She did it in the face of criticism. And third, when did she do it? She did it before Jesus was crucified. He was on his way to his crucifixion when all this began. She did it on time. Now, had she waited, hesitated, no, I won't do it now. I'll wait for a more convenient moment. I'll wait till I feel better about it. Jesus would have gone to the cross without that anointing. But she was right on time, because something in her said, now is the moment. Something in her said, this is the time. I will not wait another moment. I know the meal is not finished. I know this isn't the protocol to be doing in this man's home and to be able to interrupt their dinner hour. Something in her said, I am discerning of the times, and I cannot allow myself to miss this window. If you desire to create legacy, you have to do what God has called you to do on time. Jesus was weeping over the city of Jerusalem, climbed up on the side of the hill, looked out over the city, and began to cry and weep, and tried to gather, he said, how often in the 3.5 years I have tried to pull you to myself, like a hen tries to gather her chicks underneath her. And watch. And he said, because you did not know the time of your visitation. You were out of sync with what I was trying to do. Israel had a window of opportunity. They had the chance of a lifetime. They had a moment of a visitation from God. God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, to bring the message of restoration to it. But they missed it. And if you desire to live a life of legacy, you cannot have a someday syndrome. Someday I'll obey God. Someday I'll learn to tithe. Someday I'll step out by faith and do what God told me to do. Someday I'm going to step up. Someday I'll get out on the water and I'll walk with Jesus. I'll come out of my comfort zone and start walking in a faith zone. Someday. You might as well start singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Okay, because we know it's not going to happen. When you live a life building legacy, it will require you to move on time. There's a time attached to your miracle. There's a time attached to your calling. And when God says act, you need to act. And usually God will ask you to act when it seems least favorably to do it. Whenever he presents you with a challenge or requirement to come and serve or help or be a blessing to someone, it's always at an inconvenient time. It's never convenient. It's never like, I got nothing better to do, so I think I'll just go do that. No, most of the time, it's inconvenient to do it because God is testing our ability to step by faith and go do what he's asked us to do in obedience. It's never convenient. So God transitions you in this moment because that's the moment it requires complete trust in saying, okay, Lord, I'll stop what I'm wanting to do and I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And like Peter, I'm walking on nothing but a word from the Lord. And here I go over the side of the boat, onto the water, and only his word is holding me up because I'm doing what he asked. Mary did what she could. She did it in the face of criticism, and she did it on time. Some say, someday I'm going to commit myself to serving in my church. Someday I'm going to really enter into worship. Some have been seated here all morning, and you're thinking, well, that's not the song I wanted to sing this morning. That's an unfamiliar song to me, so it doesn't mean anything to me because I don't know the words from memory. Or that song was too loud, and I sure don't like that guy's preaching. Why don't you break out of that and just simply say, there is no better time to serve the Lord than today. Today is the day I'm serving the Lord. And everything doesn't need to be going my way in order to serve the Lord. I don't have to have something new. It doesn't have to be perfect. I will praise Jesus right now because he's worthy of my time and worthy of my commitment. That's what Mary did. She said, I don't care what others think about me. I don't care about the criticism I'm going to catch from these guys having dinner with Jesus. I'm going to go in there and praise him. And when I think of his goodness, when I think of what he's done for me, I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me because of all he's done for me. And like the author who penned the words to the great song wrote, you weren't there the night he found me, when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. That's what she was saying to Jesus. I haven't forgotten what you did for me. I haven't forgotten how you loved me. I haven't forgotten that you saved me and redeemed me. Mary was overwhelmed with gratitude, overwhelmed with her appreciation. Jesus said what she did was a big deal to me. Jesus was impressed with what she did. When we gather at Calvary Christian Center, we are not here to impress you. We are here to impress God. Praise impresses God. Praise in the face of criticism impresses God. Jesus said, her life is one of legacy, worth remembering. Her life will be remembered as a memorial forever. She worshiped. She let it be an expensive expression of worship. It cost her something to worship. You don't know the price of the oil in my alabaster box. When David was asked to offer sacrifice, and the local herdsman offered him any animal that he had, and David said, no, I'm going to purchase it. It's going to cost me. I dare never offer to God something that didn't cost me something. She worshiped in the presence of her critics. She worshiped on time. Not someday I'll serve the Lord. The Lord said, today is your day. Now is the time. And she did what she could on time. And fourth, not only did she do what she could in the face of harsh criticism, she did it on time. She did it out of brokenness. The word says the alabaster box was expensive. It alone was costly. What was in it was also very expensive. We read where it says she poured it out. In the original language, it means she broke it. So the cost was not preserved. She broke it and then anointed him on his head. Then later wiped his feet with her hair. She anointed Jesus for his burial out of her brokenness. Understand this. We have this treasure. What is this treasure? It's the good news. It's the message of reconciliation. It's the message of God sent his son into the world to save the world in these earthen vessels. And in order for the love of God to flow out of us, this vessel has to be broken. All too many don't want to be broken. They just want to strut. Many don't want to be broken. They just want to be large and in charge. Listen, notice what Jesus said is the one creating legacy. The life that is broken creates the legacy. Whose dreams have been broken, whose security has been broken, whose life has been broken, whose family has experienced brokenness. Jesus is not looking for perfect vessels. He's looking for broken vessels who will pour out the love of God. Because I've been there, I can relate to what you're going through. And that's what Jesus says is great. A life of legacy, a life that has been broken. When he allows us to go through seasons of brokenness, disappointment, betrayal, health challenges, weakness, it's through those moments we're made strong. And how does the fragrant oil representing the love of the Lord, the anointing of God, the healing of God, how does it get out? How does it come out of the vessel? This treasure is in earthen vessels. The treasure doesn't come out. People will never see what we have until we've been broken. When we go through a season of grief, when we pass through a season of valleys, when we walk through a season of being broken, that's when people can really see the love of God and the compassion of Christ. So now when you share your faith, the listener knows this person has walked through hell. This person understands what it's like to go through the meat grinder. Then they can see your life has been broken, and out of that comes pouring out of you the love of God, and others know that's real. The strongest man in the world was a man from a small town back in Georgia. His name was Paul Anderson. He's in the record books as the strongest man in the world because he carried 6,270 pounds on his back. 6,000, think about this, 270 pounds on his back. He was asked one day, being interviewed, because he would do these feats of strength in various places and pull these great weights, and no one could match him. No one, all the challengers failed, and he always won. And so someone interviewing him asked him, "Have you ever been a 90-pound weakling?" And he answered, "Yes, when I was 4 years old." So the strongest man in the world goes to church one Sunday. And he's going to hear a quadriplegic speak. No use of his arms or legs. Confined to a wheelchair. Confined in a broken vessel. And the love of God poured out of that guy who was speaking that Sunday morning. The strongest man in the world went to church service. Not as a Christian. Just as a spectator that Sunday. Invited by a friend. That kind of works, by the way. And he heard a man in a wheelchair share his story. A weakened vessel, a broken vessel, out of which flowed the love of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming out of this guy sitting in a wheelchair. And the strongest man in the world met the weakest of vessels in that church. And it touched his heart. And the strongest man in the world gave his life and heart to Jesus Christ. That's how God does it. God does not need your strength. He needs your brokenness. God does not need you to have everything right. He will take you in your brokenness. The addiction that broke you, he comes and he mends your life. He restored you. And out of that brokenness flows the love of the Lord, a compassion. Because you've been there, because you've experienced it, because I've been through brokenness in my life, let me pour the oil of God's love on you. God looks for brokenness. That impressed Jesus, because it's out of dying we live. Paul made it so clear, he said, "The life I now live, I'm dead, but the life I now live, I live through the strength of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. When our dreams and our desires of the old nature are being shattered and broken to pieces, Out of that comes God's divine purposes in us that he's had from the beginning. Could it be God has been waiting for you to be broken? Waiting on you to die to your will. And join the movement of the New Testament follower of Jesus, who's made Jesus Lord of their life, not just Savior, and live dead. Because we are citizens of the kingdom of opposites. If you want to get, give. Give, Jesus said, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll spill into your lap. If you want to live, he said, die. If you want to go up, in my esteem, go down. Because the one I esteem is servant. Give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have what? New life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. It's through our surrender we build a legacy of victory. Jesus said, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? How long has it been since you've been broken before God? We can come to church on a Sunday and have another set of services. Or we can say to the Lord, I'm here to serve you, Lord. I came to praise you. I came to pour my love on you. I came to sacrifice in any way, shape, or form that you desire of my life. God, break me and let your oil flow out of me. When Mary fell at Jesus' feet, weeping and crying and broken, Jesus said, this impresses me. He also was saying in the same sentence, I don't get impressed by independent attitudes. I don't like your distant worship. I don't like lukewarm. I love passionate worship. I love those who come broken before me. I receive those who come with that kind of a spirit, crying out in gratitude and in worship. How long has it been? I see the church coming forward saying, break us, use us. I want to do what I can. I will do it even when criticized. I want to do it on time. Not someday I'll tithe. Not someday I'll get involved. One day I'll give myself to God. No. Today is that day. Today is that moment. Master, I want to be broken before you now. I don't want to be someone who just shows up for church. Then leave just like I came, the same way. But break this vessel until your love and compassion and anointing flows out of our lives. My goodness. To this little humble servant girl who lived a life of brokenness, restored by Jesus. To have him look at her and say, this simple act, yet so profound. Willing to lose everything she had saved in that oil container. A year's worth of salary. And have the master look at you and say, what you did will be remembered as long as my gospel is preached. Because you are willing to do whatever it takes. There's a noticeable difference in a vessel that has been broken. You've been through what you've been through, so God can break that vessel and then out of it pour his love. So Calvary, you ought to make it your prayer. I want to live a life of legacy, one that God will remember and reward throughout eternity. wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So he elevates this act of total gratitude and commitment out of a once broken vessel who now breaks a very expensive material vessel to reflect what God had done for her, and says, wherever the greatest message in the world is told, likewise, your story will be told. You can live that kind of life. See? She wasn't a superhero. She didn't have superpowers. She wasn't a person that was going to go out and change the whole world because she has some majestic capability through her voice of song or through her talent to put images on a screen. But what she did in that room was so profound, it jaw-dropped Jesus and said, this is the way it's supposed to look right here. This is what changes the world. When's the last time your children saw you worshiping the Lord? Well, what's the big deal with that? I'll tell you what the big deal is. They're watching you. They're looking to see, is this a real thing? My dad was a good businessman. He became very successful only because he put the Lord first. He had to learn some hard lessons to do that. Some of us are a little more teachable than others. And once he learned God was first, God kept his word and blessed him. He made great sacrifices to help a lot of people. But one of the things I remember the most is a man who worked in a very difficult environment with a lot of tough characters. And we worked the loading docks for Dad in the wintertime in the harbor area in the howling wind and cold and sleet and ice, loading trucks. And a lot of those guys would keep themselves warm using liquid heat. And the foulness and the difficulty of living your life in that environment wasn't the easiest or the prettiest. But here was a man who began to live his life for Christ until we began to lead meat cutters to Jesus, and pretty tough characters now bowing their knee and coming to church, confessing their need of Christ. But here's the memory I have. Sitting as a boy in church, and looking over at my dad, and knew, because I worked for him after school and in the summers, knew what a tough environment he worked in and how tough you had to be to do what he did. Hands lifted. Tears. More than once. I need to know what he knows about serving Jesus. I want to know this God that can take this tough guy and break him, melt him. I sing praises to your name, for your name is great. That's what Mary was feeling that day. And greatly to be praised. Break me, Lord. I want to be like her at your feet. She worshiped. She did what she could. She took the heat of others criticizing. She did it on time. And now is your time to make a difference with who you are and why you're here and why God placed you in the world at this time and in this church for purpose. So I think it'd be time for us to stand and for us to honor God and lift our hands and give glory and thanks. Not just on Thanksgiving, but today and every day.